I mean, okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, here we, for any of you that did not get an invitation to that bride, wow, we've got a map and everything in here, it seems like it, but here we've got some physical invitations for those of you guys who couldn't get it. We don't have, everyone doesn't have email, but about 90% of us do, so there are some physical invitations that you can just collect afterwards. Okay, what I'm going to talk about today is the concept of a trained Bible talk leader. One of the things, I think I've slightly mentioned this, I'm not sure if I mentioned it or not, I've spoken about the topic in so many settings now, in small settings, that I don't know who was in it and who wasn't. But certainly a concept that came to mind for me over the last couple of months as I was speaking to different people around the world and asking just tons of advice on what they do in their churches and what have you, the word trained Bible talk leader came up a lot. Meaning when I spoke to recently to someone in Chicago about helping us possibly with some campus interns, they said, well, they have identified 10 trained Bible talk leaders that are graduating this year. And that they would approach to see if they could serve in that capacity. But the more people I spoke to, that those words kept on coming up again. A trained Bible talk leader. So call it a small group leader, a trained small group leader. And I started asking myself more and more, and started having discussions with different people on what is a trained Bible talk leader. Now that's a good question. Because we need trained Bible talk leaders, but what is a trained Bible talk leader? And I'll share some of those thoughts with you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Now, when serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs, he wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Now, there's a couple of things that we can learn about training here. I think obviously Paul, as we read about him as a master trainer, as he studied the scriptures, certainly what he's talking about here is that to do the ministry is hard work. I mean, he compares it to a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Those are not exactly the kind of people that you see laying back on the hammock and just taking life easy. Okay, so there's hard work involved. He mentions some words like reliable men will be qualified to train others. Again, so we're talking about reliability, we're talking about competence and being qualified. You see a sort of succession of leadership in terms of, or China, not China is the wrong word. You see Paul saying the things that you've heard me say, so it's Paul to Timothy, things that you've heard me say, and trust the reliable men will also be qualified to teach others. So what do you see? Someone who's training, someone who's training someone. So we're talking about trainers of trainers. Okay, and so a reliable man, qualified men, trained Bible talk leaders need to end up being trainers of trainers. So one is, my first step is I become a disciple. My second step is I need to learn to make a disciple. My third step is I need to help others to help someone become a disciple. And then I need to help others to become disciples. I need to become a trainer of trainers, a trained Bible talk leader. So a trained Bible talk leader, try to put it in the most basic, simplest terms, and this is not a comprehensive thing that I'm doing today. It's some basic, this is not the begin all or end all, but think it's the basics. Trained Bible talk leader is someone that's able to do three things. Again, they can be unpacked, I'm sure we can add a million to it, but here are some key things. One, be able to effectively convert and disciple someone. Two, be able to build family. And three, engage people on the mission. So, effectively convert and disciple someone, able to build family, and three, engage people on the mission. Let's talk about effectively convert and disciple someone. It's one thing doing the Bible studies with someone, and it's another thing helping them have a change of heart. Now, God is the one that changes heart, but He uses us as a tool in His hands to be able to get to that point. So there's a difference between informing someone and transforming someone. There's a difference between just doing the Bible studies and helping people to develop the heart for what the Bible teaches. It's one thing to teach, here's the word study you need to be reading and praying, and another thing to help the person get to the point where they actually start reading and praying and helping people develop a love for the word. Now, ultimately, God is the one that does it all. Jesus said, you know, no one can come to the to me unless the Father draws him. But also we learn from the scriptures that we are partners with Christ and that He uses us as a tool to be able to get there. This is a skill. It's not a skill that you're born with. It is a skill that you can be trained in. A skill that you can learn if you ask a ton of questions. Okay? You can learn how to do it better. The Bible talks about scriptures like 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14 where it says, I urge you brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. What do we learn from that? Then you treat different people in different ways. The idle, what do you do with them? Warn them. The timid, what do you do with them? Encourage them. The weak, what do? Help them. What should you do with all three? Even the idle. Be patient with them. So again, skills that can be learned. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. A lot that you can learn there. Okay? Be prepared. Be prepared to do a Bible study anytime. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. So it's time for correction, time for rebuke, time for encouragement. With, again, that word that is, can be so hard, great patience and careful instruction. It's something that needs to be taught. Jesus called the first disciples, and what did He say to them? Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So in other words, you're not just going to, boom, be fishers of men. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach and train you how to do this. Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Make disciples, not find disciples, not just pray the disciples would fall from heaven. Make disciples and teach them to obey everything. We're talking about things like accountability. We need to partner with God as His vessel and His chosen instrument to be able to do these things and to be able to get better skilled at doing them. Think of a guy like Nathan and the way that he approached David, which must have been a tough call. Meaning David was the man after God's own heart. David was the king that everyone loved and revered. And Nathan had the job of saying to him, dude, there's something not lucky here. Okay? Obviously, what does Nathan do? He doesn't just go to him and say, there's something not lucky here. He goes to him and he tells him the story of a king that had all these sheep, and someone came to visit and he took someone else's little lamb, and what a pitiful experience it was. What do you think, David, should happen in such a case? And David's response was, such a man deserves to die. And then he turns to him and he says, you're that man. Skilled. Okay. A trained Bible leader is someone who can effectively convert and disciple someone. If you're able to help someone become a Christian, you tend to be able to help them even as older Christians. Because it's the same skill that's involved. It's the ability to be able to try and discern what the heart problem is and to address it with scriptures, keep people accountable until there's a swing in that heart and they're able to go God's way. But it's something that you do with a guy doing the word study. It's the same thing that you do with someone that's a 20-year-old Christian having marriage conflict or having weak Bible study or not loving people or being selfish or envious or greedy or impure or whatever it might be. But it's a skill. We need to learn that skill. And we need to make it our responsibility to learn that skill. Meaning that some of us might be in a privileged position where you have a trained person that's able to train you. Others might not be in that position, but it's a phone call away. Meaning that it's, I don't know how to do this, let me ask. Let me call up someone who knows how to do this and say, listen, here is the situation. I often tell Jock and James and different leaders that I work with, is I say, obviously I cannot be everywhere with you to be able to train you, but put me on the scene. Meaning, put me in this situation. What was your situation? What did you say? What did the person say? What did you feel like? What did you think? And try and see if I can help you around it. But it's, we've got to get trained. Even as a baby Christian, one is, I had a great trainer. The guy that discipled me was a great trainer. Looked after me first 6 months. Man, he laid the foundation well. Great trainer. But what I would do is, there was just the two of us in the Bible talk at that time, from the men's side, and we would do different, I would do Bible studies, he would do Bible studies, we wouldn't be together. And I would sit in the Bible study, I shared this before, I would sit in the Bible study, the guy would ask me something, I don't know, or I don't know how to deal with this. I'll say to the guy, can you hold on for a moment, and can I use your phone? And then go in his study and call this guy and say, this is, now the dude's there in the lounge, still waiting for me. Call. So, this dude just asked this question, and this was sort of, I don't really know how to deal with this. What do you think? And I said, good advice, good advice, good advice. But anyway, as I was saying, I'm not saying we're going to do that exact thing every time an appointment, but do you get the point? We're not going to, the only way for us to win our city friends is if we are trained in this room. Yeah. And the only person that can get you trained in this room is you. You must go after it. And I know there's 100 excuses of, well, there's time, there's the people, there's, I don't have a proper discipler. Figure it out. Figure it out. How can you be trained? How can you learn? Ask good questions. A trained Bible reader is able to convert and disciple someone. Secondly, as they're able to build family. In Ephesians 2, sort of as the thought passage for this one, is consequently you are no longer, verse 19, foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. But one of the early things that I've learned of being a disciple is that we're a family as a church. And we're a very unique family because I grew up, I was raised only knowing people like myself. In school, everyone in the school was just like me. Okay, now there were some differences, but they were all white, they were all Afrikaans, and they all lived in the same neighborhood. And everyone actually went to the same church, except about two guys that went to the RGS. The rest all went to the Dutch Reformed Church. Okay, that's how I grew up. But my parents' friends were all like us. Then I came to the church, and it was almost I could not find somebody like me. There was a huge variety. But what fascinated me is how people were able to connect. My first Bible took Peter and I Kirst place. How back then they were in their 30s, early 30s roundabout. They had the babies, and this was Lisa was there at the time, au pairing, and she was young. I mean, it was just such a diversity of people, and churches are so diverse. But I didn't realize that it actually takes effort to build this family, and that it doesn't just come naturally. Okay, it takes effort to build family, and in your Bible talk, it takes effort. And a trained Bible talk leader is someone who is able to effectively build family with a very diverse group. Let me add in those words again: with a very diverse group. It is easy to build family with everyone that's just like me, because we all like what I like, we all do as I do, we all think as I do. But with a diverse group, this is often where the road parts between hired hand and good shepherd. Because the hired hand doesn't want to build the family. This is just, these people are my responsibility. I'm actually friends outside of my group. Does that make sense? So in my group, I'm just here to take care of them because that's what I'm supposed to do. But my friends are actually here. Now, it doesn't mean I cannot have friends here, but I need to forge friendships in year. I need to build family in year. A good way to distinguish whether you have family as a Bible talk or as a small group is an easy, one of the easiest ways is, one is attendance. Okay, the guilty lot. Okay. One is attendance. Two is how people feel when you call them because of an emergency that the meeting cannot take place. So in other words, you meet at the Bible Talk Thursday evening and they get a phone call from you, oh, my grandma was sick, you know, I'm going to the hospital. Unfortunately, we will not be able to have Bible Talk tonight. Unfortunately, we will not be able to have small group tonight. How do they feel?
Oh, thank you, Lord.
It's like, gee, bro, really sorry to hear that. Is it a sense of despair? Oh man, dogs, I really want to be there. Oh man, I can't believe, can't the rest of us still meet? That's family. That's the place where you want to be. Now, you can't go to people and say you've got to be this way. You've got to build it. How do we build it? How does the trained Bible leader build it? Appreciating diversity. That's something that I'm terrible at and learning through the years. Appreciate diversity. Have appreciation for diversity. Praying together. For the singles, I would say in small groups, you guys should be able to pray together at least once a week. Just pray together. Make it a Friday morning, Thursday morning, everyone before work, early, what have you, and just pray together. For maybe families, again, pray together. Maybe it would be less regular, but praying together. Eating together. As I shared today, with your families. With everyone there. Well, the kids don't want to come, it's not fun. How can we make it fun for them? The younger kids don't have a choice. They have to come because we tell them. But the older kids, how can we make it fun for them if they're teens? Is there something that we can do? Can we let go of our own preferences and somehow do something that would make them want to be there and feel part of the group? Looking out for one another. Celebrate and be celebrated. Know and be known. It's someone's birthday. Give them a cake. When someone had a birthday this week in his Bible talk, have a cake at Bible talk. It is so simple. It is almost ridiculously simple. But it's the small things that make a difference. I remember through the years where, if it was my birthday, where even the Stellenbosch campus Bible talk would come out to my house early that morning and have breakfast with me. They organized it, not me. They sort of knocked on the door at 6:30. Hello, we're here. Let's have breakfast. And they brought the breakfast. But it's the small things. It is year-end parties. Closing out the year well. Having something, again, that people would want to come to. And it doesn't have to be the most expensive event, but it is knowing your sheep. Knowing what works for them. Knowing what will make them feel tied in. It is someone is sick. Go over there. Give them a Lucozade or something. Justin was great with that. He sort of put the Lucozade idea in my mind years ago. give them send someone over there. Oh, if you've got a big group, you can't be everywhere, but include the group. Both family means, let's say the six of us are in a group, and Chantel is sick, or David and Chantel are both sick. It's not just me going over there. I'm going to go to Mike and Daphne and say, can you guys give them a call? Would you guys, I'm the leader, would you guys be able to take over a meal? Joanna, can you maybe do it tomorrow? Can you just check in with them tomorrow? Can we say a prayer for them? It is, we arrive at church, and I see Joanna is not here. Now, if we're family, if you guys are a little bit older than me, if you guys have all the kids coming over for dinner and one just doesn't pitch without calling and you're expecting them, would you just leave it? Now the other side is, would they not have called? I mean, my dad doesn't expect me for dinner and something came up and I don't make the call, right? Family calls. So one is, they didn't come over, they're not in church, she didn't call. My first reaction is, I wonder if she's okay. I hope she's okay. I hope something didn't happen. Let me step out of the fellowship right here. I do this with my wife these last couple of weeks. I'm not always sure if she's going to make it or not, because we drive in separate cars, and it was dependent when Pippa was, she's still very small, but when she was even smaller, it was dependent on whether she can stop screaming. But when she said to me, I'm seeing you, and I'm in a fellowship, and I'm not seeing her, I step out and I make a call, and I say, are you okay? Is everything fine? Okay? That's what family does. That's building family. That's a small group leader saying, these are the people that God have entrusted to me and is a family builder. Someone is missing, they get involved. But again, it's not just, now I call, I don't get an answer. Now, again, let's say you have the family over. One of the kids, Esther, doesn't pitch. You make the phone call. Do you keep it to yourself? She says, oh, I'm sick in the hospital. Or you don't get her and you want it. Do you just step back and enjoy the meal? Or do you tell the rest of the family, oh, we can't get a hold of her. We don't know what's going on. Man, guys, she's sick. Well, let's, after lunch, try and pop over there. Family. Doesn't come naturally. Has to be built. Doesn't even come naturally in my own home. Okay? It's not going to come naturally in the small, in your small group. A trained Bible talk leader is someone who is, knows how to do that and learns how to do that. The third one, engaging people on the mission. Okay, as a Bible talk leader / small group leader, I'm going to use those names interchangeably. I'm talking about the same person here. Okay? We have to develop, and again, it's not a tough skill, we just need to practice it, develop the ability to engage people on the mission. Because you guys see what we're working at here. If we talk about intimacy, community, and influence, intimacy is convert and disciple someone, help them in their relationship with God. Community with one another is we're building family. Influencing outsiders is engaging people on the mission. One is to sit as a small group and be able to figure out, we don't have any friends studying the Bible with us in this group. How do we turn that around? Now, for instance, in my small group, which almost my whole small group is in this group, but in my small group, we sit around a table and we say, okay, well, let's put together a prayer list. I've shared this before. Let's put together a prayer list of people that we know that we can reach out to, that you work with that you've not invited, that are neighbors that you've not invited, that your kids go to school with that you're not invited. Let's quickly sit, and we sat in 20 minutes. We came up with 20, 25 names, and that's really not a lot. But it was just, okay, Peter is in my group. So Peter, who do you work with? And he says, I'm working with Alan. Okay, so Alan, okay, let's put him on the prayer list. And when would you like to invite Alan? Tomorrow. Or the day thereafter, what have you. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you for tomorrow. Stan, who are you? It's Davey and Mario. I still even remember your names. And he's got a lecturer at where he studies part-time, and a student where he studies part-time, and he's got one neighbor that he doesn't know and another neighbor that he does know. Peter, and there's Barent, and there's friends of Barent, van Staden. Do you guys get what I'm saying? And we're putting together a prayer, and we're praying for it, and what we're speaking about this Wednesday is, they've got 3 days, is, so did we do it? Thanks for the heads up, Batman. But on the same fence, I have got my list, and guys, I reached out to my people that I said. But it's, how do we generate Bible studies? It's, we need to be able to engage. Well, we have invited all that people. We're not going to arrive on Wednesday, and these men are going to say what each of these neighbors said. And unless there is nobody, and we say, what's next for us then? Well, let's go meet people then. But let's generate some contacts that we can be praying for, that we can be reaching out to. And the difficult thing with these things is when you lose momentum, it's hard to get it back. In other words, when you're in a good run and you've got several people, keep the momentum. Because as soon as you lose it, it's sort of to get back on. But so now you get some people to study the Bible. Now I'm studying the Bible with David. David is my friend. He came out of church. How to engage people in the mission. Again, this is my Bible talk here. Now I'm saying to Mike, can you join me in the Bible study? Donnie, can you join me in the Bible study? For me, a cardinal sin is doing a Bible study by yourself. Because you're losing out on so many things. One is, David doesn't get to know Donnie and Mike, who's part of the family. Mike and Donnie doesn't get to learn how to study the Bible with David. Mike and Donnie is not included with David. There are isolated situations where maybe it's a real personal talk that can only happen one-on-one. I'm going to have one of those this week with one of your friends. You've already set it up. So that might be us, but 99%, Lisa and I would even cancel appointments if someone cannot join. Because it is just as important for them not to develop an umbilical cord relationship with someone, but to be converted into God's whole family. Now Mike and Donnie is joining me in the Bible study with David. What I'm going to do when the Bible study is done, we've done the word study, we talk about prayer, it helps to pray with people. Wouldn't it help you, David, if someone prays with you? Absolutely. Mike, why don't you and David maybe pray together one morning? Oh, that sounds good. Amen. Well, how about tomorrow morning? Oh, that, how does 6 o'clock sound? Okay, I actually lead it. Because in all honesty, if I don't, then what tends to happen is, yeah, let's talk on the phone. And next week when we get together, did you guys talk on the phone? Oh, no, we didn't. And it's not bad intention. It's not even a bad heart. It's just busy. distracted. So I said, how about sex? Sounds great. Now I'm saying to Donnie, Donnie, can you somehow reach out socially to Devet? Invite him for coffee. Now it's all age appropriate and whatever appropriate. We don't want anything weird going on. Okay, something that would work for Devet. So now I'm studying the Bible with, I'm including them in the Bible study. We're building a relationship. They're building a relationship. They're building a relationship. And what am I doing? I'm engaging everyone in the mission. I've been in situations through this year where someone brings someone to count the cost with me and they are the only guy in the study. I want to shoot them. Not to study then. And the reason is, and then in the same breath tell me how discouraged they are about their group that doesn't have faith. And I think, but you've got a live 1 year. There is nothing greater. James and I did a Bible study with one of our Google people this week. And you sit there and you see the sincerity of this guy's heart. And you think, man, if the rest of the Bible talk was in this group right now, they would feel embarrassed. Because we are challenging this man on something that he is already 10 steps ahead of the rest of the Bible talk. And you send those kind of things and you listen to this guy say, oh, well, this is where I see my pride. And he goes, he takes out a list. And he says, here's where I see it. I'm very stubborn. This is where I've been stubborn this week. I'm stubborn with my wife. It's difficult to get along with me as a husband. Something else that I've seen is that I'm incredibly independent. I'm independent from you guys. I'm independent from other people. Now, all that they told him in the previous Bible study is that they think he's prideful. He went home and figured that lot out by himself. Who's there to appreciate the victory? One guy. That's why I said, shoot him. Okay, love him, but shoot him. Or shoot him, but love him. But it's, you've got to engage people on and in the mission so that day, let me tell you, there is no cooler thing than when someone gets baptized and the little circle huddles up around them and you were part of the battle. And you can share, I remember Mike. I remember when we still had a chariot ride at my house, 1998, with Mike there, and I was a part of that. I remember that. It's a memory for me with Mike that I have carried now, that I think of it, 12 years on. I remember, shit, was a hot fellow. Yes. But his man has kept the faith. Engage people on the mission. Those three things, we're going to aim at that. Our mission for 2011 is going to be two things. One is the mission. Collectively as a church, as we want to re-engage in the mission. And two is trained Bible talk leaders. Where we need to be able to, in this room, say confidently, I am a trained Bible talk leader. Because I'm not perfect, like Reinhard. But, so I mean like Jane. But, like Reinhard and Jane. Now, I'm not perfect. But I'm able, through God's grace and through training, able to convert and disciple someone. I'm able to build family with what we have here. I'm able to engage people on the mission. Can you imagine if we start having 10, 20, 30 people like that in this room? Trained Bible to leaders. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. I know, let me speak to those that feel overwhelmed. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. This is not, we're not asking you to lead hundreds. We're not asking you to preach from the pulpit. We're not asking you to perform miracles or walk on water. It is just with your small group, just with the two or three people, to be able to train and disciple, bring about change, life change, build family, engage in the mission. So we're going to be talking about this again on the 15th of January. Okay, and we're going to talk about it a lot through the rest of the year on how we can do this and how we can help from our side, what have you. But where we have that aim as small group leaders, I want to be a trained small group leader, a trained Bible group leader. I'm going to go after these three things and I'm going to figure out how I can do this so that God can utilize us as a group, because when we do it together, we can do it. When we do it as individuals, we're going to fall on our face. We'll never cross that 300 mark. When we do it together and we have trained people, and even if it takes us another year just to train 10, then I believe 2012 we'll cross the 300 mark. When we're trained and we do it together. Amen.